In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. On another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, "Where have you come from?" Satan answered the Lord, "From roaming throughout the earth, going back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." "Skin for skin," Satan replied. "A man will give all he has for his own life. But now, stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, he is in your hands, but you must spare his life." So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the crown of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. His wife said to him, "Are you still maintaining your integrity? Curse God and die." He replied, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. I think it sounds like it rings some bells. So come on, Sunday morning. What are those words from, please? Tell me. Star Wars, thank you. Yes. So you're wondering how Star Wars fits into this, I'm sure. Well, Star Wars is fiction. We know that. We know who wrote it, when, and where the film was made, and seemingly countless of other bits of information about it. We know it's made up, but that doesn't mean it hasn't got some important messages for us to consider for our lives. The films, like many other films and stories over time, teach us to think about loyalty, love, betrayal, hate, service, family, opportunity, forgiveness, destiny, what happens when people stand by and do nothing to prevent an evil, and when other people, at great cost to themselves, make a stand against evil for the good of all. Just because we know it's made up doesn't stop it being emotive, moving, exhilarating, thought-provoking, powerful. What would we do if we found ourselves in the Star Wars story? Would we put love for others above love for ourselves? Or would we seek revenge on everyone and everything when we don't get our way? The book of Job is considered a biblical book of wisdom. The key purpose is to help us hold a mirror to our lives and relationship with God, to learn and consider our reactions in particularly challenging situations. So whether Job really lived or exactly when aren't the things to worry about here. And in case it sounds like I want to have my cake and eat it about which bits of the Bible are literal or not, there are plenty of times when it's clearly important to recognize that the events described were actual events in time, and the tellers of the stories provide evidence to locate these in a real time and place. Think most obviously about the life of Jesus, his teachings, his traveling about, his death. Something missed from our reading is found in chapter 1, a very famous and powerful few verses, which I think are really significant as they show us Job's state of mind as he responds to the horrors that have occurred, the death of all his family and loss of all his property, wealth, and income. Then in chapter 2, the loss of his health too. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. He has a sense of his own mortality. It continues, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. How do we reconcile this sentiment to our own lives? Anyone want to tell me when things are going badly just how easy they find it to praise the name of the Lord? The writer also makes clear in chapter 1 Job's innocence with regard to what's happened, and that Job's suffering was not a punishment for wrongdoing. Verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. This story of Job is a classic example of bad stuff happening to a good person. Something that as humans, let alone Christians, we find hard to think of as fair. Plus, for some people, this seemingly unfair suffering functions as proof of why there can't be a loving God. That if there's a God, he, she is simply not interested in humans or their well-being. When Job's wife challenges his faith in God, verse 10, he replies, shall we accept good from God and not trouble? I find this quite astounding. Job apparently considers that it would be wrong and inconsistent to be willing to accept blessings but not be prepared to accept difficulties. Wow. I think one reason we find it hard to accept difficulties in the life of a Christian is we can find it so very easy to focus on suffering as being a result of punishment for something or things we've done. The Bible is absolutely clear that God sent his one and only Son, Jesus, to die for our sins, that whoever believes in him will be forgiven and receive eternal life. So nothing we can do can separate us from God's love. That's clear and unequivocal. Check out John 3:16 for that. Of course, if we do something which is wrong, we may find we receive earthly punishment. If we commit a crime, we can expect justice, and in the most serious cases, a prison term. But this will still not separate us from God's love. Punishment in terms of restitution in the eyes of the law is about justice being administered in our world. But in the life of the Christian, I think it can feel that if our life is not progressing in a way that can easily be summed up in worldly terms as successful, then we're being punished for something, or we're not aligning ourselves with God enough, or doing enough good things, or volunteering for enough good causes, or giving away enough, or missing out on a mysterious other truth that some other Christians know about and we don't. Let me reassure you, if you've asked Jesus into your life and are seeking to follow his teaching, then you're not only a Christian, but are aligned with God's plans for you. And because we live in this world, we'll directly experience both good and bad things happening. That's just normal. In the simplest terms, we will be born, we'll grow older, and at some point, we'll die. We've heard how Satan, meaning the accuser, asks God to be able to strike Job's flesh and bones, with the assumption that when this happens to Job's body, it will be the tipping point to make him reject God. Instead, we find that although Job must be in significant pain, he chooses to remain faithful and trusting in God. He chooses to stand firm because in his understanding of God, it would be inconsistent of him, illogical, to accept that only good things could ever come to him from God, and that by God allowing the terrible to happen to him is a perfectly reasonable or likely possibility. What gives him this courage? This reckless, perhaps blind courage and strength to hold on to his belief that God is a loving God, even in terrible adversity. I think the only answer that to me is logical, is plausible, is that Job knows God's heart. He knows what God is like. God has proved himself faithful. There may have been hard times previously in Job's life, but recently when the story we hear starts, he's been receiving great blessings. I can't see any other way than that he knows God's heart from experience, and presumably both the positive and negative in life. Otherwise, how would he have a full understanding? He must have rounded understanding, otherwise at the first sign of difficulty, he would have turned his back on God. It would be nice if there was an easier answer than that, but it's hard to see what it can be otherwise. Let's imagine it some way differently. That Job knew that if he put up with difficulty, with losing all but his life, that he would get everything back and more times over. If Job knew this, that as long as he was just patient, didn't complain, he was going to get back everything he'd had and more, then it wouldn't really be a relationship with the creator of the universe on a level which demonstrates a knowledge of God's love. If Job simply thought he'd get things back exactly as they were, it would be like a transactional insurance policy. Job loses everything, but this policy called God will sort it out for him and give it him back. He just has to have the inconvenience of waiting a bit of time while things are made right, and then, hey presto, he's back to where he was. But that would also imply that God owes us something because we've paid him for a service we've bought. That we buy God's love by turning up enough Sundays in a year or doing enough good works. But that's not a relationship. That would be a transaction. God is not about transactions. He's only about relationship and love. Job knows through his experiences what the true heart of God is. Job knows that he's a loving God. And the difference between knowing something and feeling something is critical. If we only believe that God is present in our lives, if we feel we're successful, doing well in life, then if we lose these elements, what do we have left? I know it's true that God holds me in his care, but it's incredibly difficult to feel that he always does. But feelings are not always to be relied on. Feelings can let us down. Instead, knowing something is a long-term approach, and it's a mark of Christian maturity. In fact, I'd almost venture to say that if we weren't to have difficulties in life, yet profess to trust God, how would we really know we trust him until we've been through challenges? We might even say that if we're invested in our relationship with God, we'll actually want to go through some testing times to allow that faith of ours to grow immaturity. Job had no way of knowing that God would bless him even more, notwithstanding the loss of life of others in the story, which of course is not insignificant. But Job trusted God nevertheless. Does this mean I'm ever happy when great difficulties come my way, simply because it means I can grow in my trust in God? Like when cancer was spreading rapidly through me and surviving was touch and go? Of course not. I'm him. No one seeks or rejoices in potentially life-threatening or overwhelming things to face. Even so, during that time, I knew God loved me and was so close to me, although it was almost impossible to hold the experience of God's love in one hand and at the same time in the other, understand why cancer was happening to me. God is calling us to trust him, to grow deeper in relationship with him. It's through the difficulties we face that we become more of who we can be. We become more whole, and we grow in strength through our experiences. Finally, if you, your loved ones, are or have been going through great overwhelming difficulties, and perhaps you don't know whether you can come out the other side, remember, God is ever faithful. He loves you. And why bad stuff happens is just part of this project of life. But God is there. Always.